This is Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett joins me here by phone. I was reading some of the things that you've talked about with the new tax cut that was all based on income tax and also gave some corporate tax breaks. And I know that you, along with other Democrats, are kind of seeing this as something that's not really benefiting, you know, average Idahoans, more for just the wealthiest, and that instead there should be property tax cuts. Why do you think property tax cuts are the most important thing for Idahoans right now?
Well, you know, and because it's happening in your area as well, that workforce housing is difficult, particularly for those that are middle income to lower income, and that is a large part of our community workers, our emergency service workers, in order to take care of the infrastructure and the basic services that we all need in our communities, and our teachers and our healthcare providers are all having an extraordinarily difficult time finding housing. And part of that is how expensive property has become. And those that do have their homes are not earning the type of wages to keep pace with the rapid escalation of what it costs to do to pay your taxes on property taxes or the cost of the house that you're sitting in. And so it's a combination of not of being one of the most minimum wage earners per capita in the nation are in Idaho, so our wages don't keep up, and we now are one of the most expensive housing markets in the nation, which the combination is unsustainable for people to afford to live here. Mm-hmm. So we have heard loud cries for the last few years because we've been the fastest growing state now, I think, 5 or 6 years in a row, and then it boomed during COVID in the last couple of years, that it is a trajectory that pushes a lot of Native Idahoans, multi-generation Idahoans, seniors, workers out of being able to live in their communities or work in their communities. And the kind of migration we're seeing is something to be concerned about. So we feel like giving property tax relief is part of an equation of trying, and how you give property tax relief is not one solution. It'd have to be multi-solutions, and we've talked about the various, you know, increasing circuit breaker, increasing the homeowner's exemption, giving tax relief in a fashion of if you can take your surplus and pay for, create a formula to pay back the debt that school districts and bonds and levies are paying for, you would give hundreds of dollars back per property owner, which would be real property tax relief. So there's many ways that we could be far more efficient in how we give back to the people who put their taxes into the budgets that we are have the opportunity to do some really wonderful infrastructure and give them real relief, and that would benefit far more Idahoans more meaningfully on an individual level than giving $75 tax cut to those who need it the most. So That's how we feel about it. That just feel that the use of those dollars could have be maximized for a better benefit for each Idahoan. Mm-hmm.
As I was doing a bit of research about property taxes, I've seen that a lot of schools have had to tap into property taxes to fund education. Do you think that funding education more would help decrease property taxes?
Yes, absolutely. The reason why they go to their local governments for bonds and levies is because they can't afford to run their school districts. And it was a formula that changed back when Senator Risch was the governor. And it was a formula before that. We had very few school districts that needed to have that extra. Sometimes it was because they needed a real buildings or facility rebuild or something like that. But now we have, I think it's 94 school districts out of 115 that rely on bonds and levies. And so it has become the way, if the voters agree on paying property taxes into bonds and levies, it's the way that schools have had to go in order to stay open and manage themselves. So if we are able to do this differently and provide resources to them and take it off of the property taxes, that's beneficial both to the schools but also to the property tax owners. And we have a unique opportunity with our resources now to find creative ways to do that.
How do you think this $1.6 billion surplus should be allocated?
Well, I would argue that it's 1.6 is one number, but if you add all of our rainy day funds and tax funds and online taxes that we've put aside, it's nearly $2 billion. And then there's $1 billion from the ARPA money that's coming in, and I'm not even factoring in what the infrastructure bill might provide for us. So it is even more resources than the governor's office is talking about.
Wow.
And I think there's a possibility of obviously keeping those monies and rainy day funds and planning for, you know, maybe a difficult economy ahead. But we still are sitting on an extraordinary amount of people's tax money that I would argue is inappropriate to be hoarding at a state level when the people have given us that money to do services to benefit them. So in addition to the property tax relief and finding ways to improve education, we have a real deficit in roads and bridges. We have 2,000 local and state bridges that are deemed unfit to travel on, which is a public safety issue. Also impacts school buses and commerce if they have to go around bridges that will not carry the load anymore. We have antiquated roads and railway systems that we have put heavier, longer, faster loads on that were not built to handle that kind of pressure. And so these are the types of things I believe government should be doing is when it pertains to public health and safety, that is the role of government to make the system safe. And so this, again, is a unique opportunity with one-time monies to take care of those systems that have aged out and are too antiquated to handle the load, and the new ones because of all of our growth that need to be put into place to create new infrastructure. This is a moment in time where we can be putting in our services and infrastructure that will last the next 30 or 40 years, and we really can't not do it because it will crumble if we don't do it. So there is quite a bit that we could do this year that would put would do a lot of benefit for Idahoans as far as it pertains to infrastructure.
Speaking a little bit about health and safety, there were a few legislators who tested positive with COVID at the beginning of the session. And there was talk over them being able to participate still or do that virtually. Do you have any updates on that, or do you think it would become possible for legislators to still vote and participate while not being there physically?
Well, what's happening in the building as far as legislators while we're in session is a very blended, mixed behavior. Those of us who decided that we want to make sure that we are being respectful of the people who work with us in the building, our staff, our fellow colleagues, we will continue to get tested, which we have the opportunity to be tested frequently while we're in the building to make sure that we're not walking with COVID, because some people are not symptomatic and therefore testing is the only way to know that you may be a carrier. We will wear masks, but much of the building, the public who comes in and other legislators are not getting tested, are not revealing if they are sick. And the public certainly doesn't. So we have the very open building. And therefore, I think we're just going to end up having people on a regular basis who come down with COVID. But not everybody's telling everybody when they've come down with it or not. And so it's just going to be fairly haphazard. And I don't see it changing because the leadership in the building has decided that We are not doing, you cannot vote remotely. You can listen in on things remotely, but you, if it means that you need to make votes or do anything on the floor or in committees, you need to be there in person. They are allowing for remote testimony, particularly on the Senate side, for people to testify, the public to testify in things in committee where they don't have to come in the building, but they can if they choose to. And we are not, I mean, we sit on the floor together and we sit in our committees together, so there isn't going to be any distancing. We're kind of, we're all lumped together. And so we will just have to navigate individually to the best of our ability, given the environment that we are forced to work in. And so we are here and elected by people who expect us to do the people's work and be do our business. And we will all try to do what we can to protect ourselves and others around us at different levels. And people have different ideas about how they do or don't manage COVID during their work here.
Yeah, that's a tricky one to manage. So I guess just to finish up, as you look forward to the session ahead, what kind of maybe proposals or topics are taking up most of your time right now?
Well, obviously, what we do with the resources, the dollars, the tax dollars that we have accrued in our, as revenue, are going to our primary job when we come every legislative session is to balance a budget. And of course, there are 105 of us in the legislature, and we'll all have a different idea about what we could do with the resources that we have in front of us. But I think we really need to be looking at how we can give relief to Idahoans, but also to, you know, we think about all the things that we could be doing a better job on. And I mentioned transportation infrastructure and broadband and water and sewer systems and education, of course, and the healthcare sector. There's so much that needs attention that we are spending our time trying to find out what we can put into place with all these resources that have different deadlines and they have different distribution and they go directly to some, but they go through our Joint Finance Committee on others. This is a lot of moving parts, and so it will preoccupy us while we're here about how that gets allocated in under the requirements that it's being given and distributed. But we are hopeful that we can do some long-term restoration of many systems that have been neglected with the resources that we've received. And we do have to remind everybody that these are taxpayer money, and they should benefit as many Idahoans and what we choose to do with it as possible. And so I think that's from that perspective that we are guiding our policymaking for this session.
That was an interview with Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett.